Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 762. If it sounds like I've said that a lot, it's because this is part three, okay? So our topic we're going to continue with is training. The title is Training Through Joint and Connective Tissue Injuries. Again, this topic was brought up due to a social media question. We asked people for suggestions on topics, and someone asked for training tips for people with arthritis in the knee, hip, and back, and other tissue injuries to the meniscus, labrum, and disc. So that would be like the spinal discs. Awesome topic. However, you can see by this being part three, it's a lot of information. I love this, though. I really, really, really do. I can't even express it enough how much I love when somebody requests a topic, because I know it's going to serve a purpose for someone. It's going to benefit someone's life. And that is such a motivator. It's unbelievable. So thank you so much to the person who requested a topic, and I hope that these podcasts have been what you've been looking for. And if there's anything people want to build on top of or ask around, we can always do follow-ups and stuff like that. So always reach out to us. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. We're always here, and we're always happy to help. Again, just a shout-out to our patrons, the people who financially support the podcast through the Podbean app. You can sign up to become a patron, and they'll donate money every month to the podcast. And it cannot be done without your help. So the podcast is several hundreds of dollars a year to kind of keep going just in finances, and then I donate an hour every day. I enjoy doing it, so I don't mind that part at all. But the patrons who financially support the podcast, it's thanks to you that we can share this information, that we can get this information to people's lives that will make a difference to help them live a healthier and happier life. So it is you. It is thanks to you that this podcast can make a difference. So thank you very much to the people who financially support the podcast. So what we've been talking about is in each workout in which somebody would be doing a workout or training session or a rehab session, whatever you want to call it, where they are trying to work through the issue of arthritis in the joints and or connective tissue injuries to the meniscus, labrum, or discs, and they're working through it because they want to continue to progress. Maybe they want to continue to progress towards competing. So I've talked about this, that I've worked with Olympic athletes, professional sport athletes, elite level power lifters, and pro card earned, like pro card holding aesthetic athletes who have various injuries and issues like this. I have helped people become very strong, become very perfectly great aesthetics, become better in their sport performance. They have been better after their injuries than before they had them. Thankfully, I have not been the one who's caused them the injuries, so I get the clients after they've already been injured, and through word of mouth or, you know, a friend or something like that, we get connected, and then I'm able to help them, and it's been a blessing in my life. I've really enjoyed it, and it's something that I believe I'm good at, and I really enjoy doing. It's fun because I help people all across the country, from California all the way to New York to Florida, so it's all across the United States, and I have clients in the UK, Austria, Australia, Spain, Brazil, so it's just really, really, really freaking fun. That's really exciting stuff, and I enjoy a lot. So one of the things we'd look for is when we're doing our sessions for like the rehab session, what we want to address in those sessions is we want to do some type of low irritation, high blood flow warm-up. And if you've listened to part one and two, this makes more sense because you've already heard me explain it. Then we would look for low irritation, strengthening exercises for the stabilizers and supporting muscles around the injury. Then you want to challenge the injury. You want to do some work to remind the body that that injury still exists and it still needs to be addressed and corrected. So we've talked a little bit before. Part one was dealing with knee arthritis and meniscus tear. So if you want to learn more about what I just went through really quickly in the per-workout stuff, listen to part one. Part two, we talked about hip arthritis and kind of hip pain. And we went through, you know, what would be the irritation, the low irritation, high blood flow warm-up examples of stabilization, supporting work, where areas you should focus on, and challenging the work, kind of training considerations for that. So what we're going to talk about today is the back. So we're going to talk about kind of lower back pain, disc pain, things like that. I have experience with this. I have a slip disc in my back. If you look down an x-ray of my back, there's a disc that shoots out to the left, and it was caused by me deadlifting like a jackass, basically. I was doing a deadlift competition with some friends, and we were doing 440 pounds for reps. On rep 14, my back did not feel too good, and so I dropped the bar and had trouble walking, and in a roundabout way, figured out what it was, and there was a lot of pain associated with that. I ended up rehabbing that, and then years later, I had another injury related to some connective tissue, related to tearing my QL, groin, and hamstring all in a single lift. Not the happiest moment, and that caused more lower back pain related to the disc, but I was again able to fix that. So the second injury was actually more painful than the first injury. It took me 14 months to correct. It was back pain all day, every single day, continuously for 14 months. Not good, not fun. But I got to experience it, and through that experience, I've been able to help other people. It's a very common injury issue, unfortunately, but it's also one that is very correctable and addressable. There is a lot of stuff you can do to strengthen your back and protect yourself against nerve pain related to that area. And a lot of times, if people have lower back pain, a real quick caveat off my notes is sometimes people will have back pain because their back's the only strong thing on them, meaning they have no ass, they have no hamstrings, no thighs, they have weak abs, and all their back, their back does all the damn work. And then their back hurts, then they go to a chiropractor or a therapist, and the person tries to help their back. That's not the problem. The problem is you have no damn muscle to support your back. So this stuff that we're going to talk about today in this kind of method we're talking about addresses that as well. So if you suffer from no acetal disease, which means you have no ass at all. So if you suffer from no acetal disease, this will help as well. So let's get into this. The low irritation, high blood flow warm-ups. It's really good to do a glute-based warm-up and learning how to properly hinge at the hips. So overwhelmingly, most people, when they try to bend at the hip to do a stiff leg deadlift, Romanian deadlift, regular deadlift, if they were doing kettlebell swings, anything like that, their lower back extends and stretches a little to share some of the stretch tensioning, load tensioning from the hamstrings and glutes. That is not correct. That is not what you want to do. You want the back muscles to be contracted and braced, and actually not have them contract, release. You actually just want them to do an isometric contraction so they can hold the tension of the position. So if you are bending over at the waist, like you're going to pick something up off the floor, your lower back muscles are to brace the positioning of your entire upper body connected to your hip. They are not meant to actually lift anything. It's your hamstrings and glutes and quads that are meant to lift things off the ground. So if we do a low irritation, high blood flow warm-up, the main focus would be to look for glute warm-ups. Now, that's why we would do that if we're looking for back injury or back issues, is we want to teach our body to use the glutes instead. And we want to help to kind of strengthen the glutes, make sure they can move through full range of motion, make sure they're healthy. There's a lot of variations of things, but you can do glute bridges, single leg, double leg. You can do elevated variations depending on what degree of back pain you're in. There's also just simply the machine adductor abductors, where you push in, push out with your knees on machines. That's good to kind of warm up the musculature around the hip and the glutes. There's also a device, a cloth thing you can put around your knees that has stretch tension to it. It's called a hip circle. You can find it by howmuchyoubench.net. It's made by Mark Bell. And it's something you can do side shuffles with, leg kickbacks, a lot of different glute work. You can also just do different bodyweight glute work where you're on kind of a quadruped position where you're on your hands and knees and you're doing things called a fire hydrant, glute kickback, glute crossovers. There's a lot of variations to those type of movements. But the idea is to get your glutes warmed up and primed and get them kind of moving. And that's the way in which you warm up for a lower back focused training session. If you're trying to get through that session, you're trying to strengthen that stuff. We also have at our gym a Nautilus glute drive that we will use, which is kind of like a machine that does barbell hip thrusts. We also have a belt squat. We will sometimes do marches, band tensioned marching on the belt squat. We'll also do step up marches, which is just a more aggressive variation of the regular march. We'll also do standing hip thrusts on their belt squat, which is just a standing version of a barbell hip thrust. So there's a lot of variations we can do, but the entire focus is on the glutes and contracting and holding position of the back. So not letting the back contract, release, but more so an isometric contraction and a hold of position. Then we also do anti-rotation activation for spinal bracing muscles. And this would be core work in which you are not rotating. So if you think of a cable wood chopper, if you don't know what that is, search it on YouTube. But if you think of a cable wood chopper, it's something in which you have pressure from the side of you, and the weight is trying to twist you. And you're twisting against the weight, you're twisting with the weight, but you're twisting through your core. You're doing a rotational movement. An anti-rotation would be is where you accepted the pressure from the cable, but you didn't let the cable move you. You actually resisted movement. Another variation of a name of that is called a Palloff hold, P-A-L-L-O-F. You can do Palloff rotations, Palloff holds. There's a lot of variations of them. At the horizontal plane, vertical plane, you can do movements while you do those things. But simply a static Palloff hold is a great way where you can build tension against band resistance, but fight against movement. If you anti-rotate, okay, if a stimulus is applied upon you, and you deny your body the ability to rotate against that stimulus or with that stimulus, what happens is there's a lot of muscles that fire that are connected to the individual discs themselves, and you can activate them and kind of strengthen them over time and even learn how to kind of brace yourself. I won't say that you ever become really kind of mind-muscle connection kind of connected to those individual small little muscles that control discs. You're not going to be able to like flex them or feel them individually above other things, but you can better use them or better learn how to use them by performing anti-rotation movements. So that's typically what we do to warm up for in a workout or something in which we're trying to work through the issue of back arthritis or a disc injury. Is glute-focused workout with proper hinge mechanics, meaning we're not allowing our back to extend, contract, and we're focusing on anti-rotation core work. Then, you want to go into the strengthening work for your stabilization and supporting muscles. So, that's even more core work for anti-rotation. As somebody is able to do anti-rotation totally well, you then do add actually rotation. So rather than doing flexion, like extension of the abdomen, we're actually going to be doing rotation, anti-rotation. That tends to be a much better approach towards training back health. And that's a first place to start, as you would be able to do anti-rotation and rotation movements totally fine. You could then add in flexion extension and probably be okay, considering you've already mastered anti-rotation and rotational work first. Then we still do a lot more glute work, but we move into bigger, heavier movements. So rather than like a glute bridge, you would actually start to do like a barbell hip thrust. If you had already done a light version of barbell hip thrust as your warm-up, maybe you do a heavy version. Maybe even get into like some RDLs and stiff leg deadlifts. Depends on what kind of mechanics are okay with you for now in terms of keeping it low irritation on the injury issue. So that's one of the first two things that we do to warm up. We just make them more aggressive as we go into like our actual strengthening work. We also add in a lot of hamstring work because the hamstrings help support the glutes in regards to when we hinge, what should be actually contracting to move the weight. If our glutes get tired, we want to have nice strong hamstrings to kind of back them up. We also do a lot of lower lat work and just lat work in general. This sounds maybe a little bit odd to include lat work when you're trying to work on lower back health, but your lats do connect into the lower area of the kind of torso. And your lats, when very strong, can do a great job to brace and stabilize your torso, which can help kind of prevent lower back rounding on lifts like squats and deadlifts. So you want to make sure you have really freaking strong lats as a way to protect your lower back. We also do pelvic tilt awareness and learning proper positioning of your pelvic tilt and then strengthening it to maintain in the proper position. So if in association to the lower back pain, you have a forward tilted hip positioning, you do need to learn how to pull that back to neutral and how to stay and brace and maintain neutral. Dead bugs is an exercise that teaches that. So you can look that up and you'll know what I mean by this concept of finding a neutral hip tilt positioning and then strengthening it and being more aware of staying in neutral. So that is what we typically start with. The low irritation, high blood flow warm-up, we typically do, you know, two or three rounds of things that have no challenge whatsoever. You almost feel like you're going through the motions. But we talked about in part one and two how that kind of helps to kind of put blood in and water kind of into the area, which helps to create more support in the area. It also improves mind muscle connection. It helps increase endorphins, which are natural painkillers, and helps to increase adrenaline, which is a natural focus, which is kind of like a mental version of a painkiller because you're going to stay focused on what you're doing and kind of have more aggression towards being purposeful in your movements and actions. So we typically do 2 to 3 rounds of very low, like no challenge whatsoever, and then 1 or 2 rounds of some degree of a challenge enough to start getting some things to burn. Then when we go into strengthening exercises, it's typically 2 to 3 rounds to kind of test them out and feel how it's going, and then 2 to 3 rounds to really kind of strengthen them and challenge them. Then carrying over from those low irritation warm-ups and low irritation supporting and stabilizing strengthening work, you may have some degree of annoyance, but you should have more room in regards to the challenged area, the lower back or disc not being fully worn out for the day. If you do find that it's fully worn out, oh well. So just cut it for the day and that's it. And you're just going to have to keep addressing the warm-up and the strengthening for the stabilization and supporting muscles until you have a strong enough base to then eventually get into working the actual issue. So that's okay. You have to build that base regardless of what happens. So go ahead and build the base first and then just kind of move on from there. Once you can go through the warm-up and the stabilization and supporting strengthening exercises, you then want to challenge the injury. You can challenge this. One of the common ways in which the spine is going to be challenged is a deadlift. Most commonly, people start by doing a trap bar deadlift after a back injury or back issue because your hands can be to the side of you. So the weight load is actually not in front of you as much as you are kind of in the center of the gravity of the weight load. So it's a lot less of a lower back pull, which is why trap bar deadlifts are great for kind of rehabbing back and building back into it. Now, you can do a trap bar deadlift in a traditional sense of a deadlift where you have your shins slightly forward of vertical and driving the bar off the ground with leg force, which would be similar to a conventional deadlift. However, you can also do trap bar deadlifts with a vertical shin, which is more like an RDL or a stiff leg deadlift, and that's a great variation. You can do one workout with the shins forward like a conventional deadlift. You can do one workout with the shins vertical like RDLs and kind of switch back and forth. We also can do kettlebell deadlifts. If you have large kettlebells and you have two of them, you can have one on each side of you and pick them up the same way you would pick up a trap bar. Trap bar is much more controlled though, so I definitely err on the side of that rather than kettlebells. Eventually, you can get into using the barbell again, which does place a frontal load in regards to the center of gravity of the weight being in front of you, which does activate the back more. So you have to be careful. You have to make sure you're crushing and doing great with your trap bar work before you get into some barbell work. I would typically start with a vertical shin barbell work, which is like RDL variations, and you can either do them, you know, slight elevation if going all the way from the floor requires your shins to go forward. So you can do them elevated, you can do them reverse banded to help still get like a nice heavy overload and make sure it's still like kind of a good heavy stimulus. We also eventually work up to doing what's called eggshell variations, where instead of letting the weight slam off the floor, which jars your lower back, for all of the work of the trap bar, barbell, etc., you want to have the weight come down under full control, lightly tap the ground like you're tapping the like an eggshell, but you don't want to break the eggshell. you just tap the ground and go right back up. This keeps you in control of the weight, and that allows you to avoid that jarring force on your lower back that would typically happen from just kind of dropping your deadlifts onto the ground. So it's really important when you're doing these that you have core tightness. That's why we talked about the anti-rotation, the rotation work, the dead bug work, neutral hip positioning. So you want to have all that stuff in place in the base work that we've talked about. So that way when you're doing these deadlifts, you have proper hip tilt, you have proper core tightness, and you also have learned how to squeeze and activate your glutes and hamstrings rather than pulling through your lower back. So if you do not do the base work, if you do not take the time to do the warm-ups correctly and the stabilization and supporting strengthening exercise work correctly, then you will not do well when you get into the big, heavy, challenging exercises. You must have the patience to take the time to build your base, because that base is what your strength will be built from when you get back to the big lifts. If you just try to go right back to deadlifts and you skip all your warm-ups and you skip all that difficult, miserable, horrible shit that nobody likes to do, all those small exercises, you're being a jackass and you're just going to keep hurting yourself, and you're going to go back and forth, two steps forward, two steps back, three steps forward, three steps back. You're going to go nowhere. So stop being stubborn, stop being a jackass, and make sure you get the baseline work in. Okay? Now, training considerations. You want to watch when you have back injuries, watch for flexion of the spine in unrelated movements. So if I'm doing a dumbbell chest press, often people will irritate their back, but just by trying to kick the dumbbells back to lay back on the bench. So it's odd that, like, even getting into a barbell bench press, they'll have back pain in a bench press. And so you have to make sure that in your other movements, you're being mindful of how you're loading the positioning. So make sure the core is tight, make sure you have neutral hip positioning. You might even need to switch to machine presses for a while rather than bench presses while you work on healing your back. So it's really important that you pay attention to what you're doing outside of the session, outside of the direct back work, to make sure you don't continually irritate the back on other things, which then leads to it being pre-sensitized, pre-irritated by the time you get into your training. So you have to be very, very careful to reduce irritation in all other aspects of life. Okay. The other thing is always squeeze your glutes. So make sure your glutes are holding your positioning, not your lower back. Anytime you're carrying anything, anytime you're standing straight up and down with weight, just make sure the glutes are contracted. Make sure the glutes are the things that are holding the tension. Then control your volume for squats and deadlifts. If you're dealing with a back injury, you may only be able to focus on one of those two lifts at a time. You may have to develop your deadlifts first and then lead into squats if you have range of motion issues. So if you can't get into a proper depth of a squat, but you can't get into a proper deadlift depth, then you may have to train deadlifts first, build up your strength there, and then you'll find the squats feel a lot stronger. What you have to consider is that the muscles involved in squats and deadlifts are the same muscles. So be careful of overtraining them, because whatever you do in deadlifts, you have to use those same muscles when you do squat training. Whatever you do in squat training, you have to use the same muscles when you do deadlift training. So you may have to focus just on one lift at a time. Okay? Start with whichever one feels the least uncomfortable to do. Strengthen yourself with that one first, then go into the next one. Okay? So, if we're looking at time here, we're at 23 minutes already. Golly. And we have quite a bit to go through yet. So what I'll do is I'm going to cut this one here and call this part 3. And then in part 4, we're going to go through a torn labrum. And then we're also just going to go through the wrap-up of all this information. So thank you for listening into part 3. So this was the back and disc injuries, and then just kind of a little bit of rehashing of the process overall. As we've said before, if you have any questions or you need any help, please reach out. So I have client experience, like I said, all across the United States, Europe, elsewhere. I can't help. This is one of the best things I do, and I don't usually toot my own horn, so when I say it, I mean it. This is a blessing that I have had in my life to learn how to help people, so please let me know if you need this kind of help. I'm always here and I'm always happy to help. Just remember that whatever your issue is, there is help. You don't have to live in pain. There is a way to become better, a way to still move forward. It's been able to be achieved by thousands and thousands of other people, and it can be achieved by you. Okay? You can get back to a healthy, happy you. You can get back to moving forward, get back to crushing things and living an awesome life. Just reach out if you need anything. Again, our email is brutalironjim@gmail.com. Our website is www.brutalironjim.com. Now, if you think this podcast would be helpful, if you know anybody with back pain, or you think that would just be a good topic to share, please share the podcast. You can share it on social media, you can share it in an email, you can share it in a text message, you can share it in a conversation, but let's get some good information out into the world, and let's help some people. So if you don't mind, please share this podcast. I do think it would be helpful. So thank you, thank you, thank you if you do. Also, if you like this type of information, you can always find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Jim. If you do check us out, give us a follow or a like. It just helps kind of know, let us know that people are there. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email, brutalironjim@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.